When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hey now! Welcome to episode one of the Batman on Film Satellite Show. Brian, what year is this? Ryan Haas, everybody.
Yo, I think it's 2021 somehow. 2021. We're past the halfway mark.
All right.
This year is weird.
All right, hold on. Before we do this intro, I'm going to address the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Some of you guys are listening, wondering who the hell I am. Maybe even Ryan.
I don't know who you are.
You don't know? I don't know who I am.
Who are you?
Well, I guess I could say I'm Batman. That would be awfully predictable and cheesy.
You're really Superman.
I auditioned for Superman Returns. You guys ever heard that story?
No, I've never heard that.
This is Rick Hsu. If you were a fan of yesteryear, I was an integral part of BOF for many, many years. And then in early 2020, I departed. I did a few things in 2020 here and there. Last thing, I hosted like an Eddie Van Halen tribute with Bob Seska, Freak Bass, and I did some vlogs with Bill Jet Remy, the man. But I was going through some depression in 2020. Something, you know, I want to tap upon this because this is episode one of the new BOF Satellite Show, and all I want to do on this episode is just set the stage about what's to come, why we're doing this show, and a little bit of Batman at the end. But just a little bit also of a reflection of kind of where I've been, Ryan, where you've been, and maybe this can help people out, right? We're going to be a little serious here for a minute, and then we're going to have some fun and some laughs. But yes, so I disappeared for a while, and I went through a divorce, and my family broke up and whatnot. But I don't want to make this episode about divorce or going through anything specific per se. It's just depression. And what that can do to you. And, you know, depression is something I never really experienced. And not you think you did, but there's a difference in being depressed and being in a state of depression. And whatever it is that puts you there, it doesn't matter. It's a rough place to be. And, you know, Ryan, I know you went through a lot in 2020 as well. I mean, you also went through a divorce as well. That was not fun, right?
What? None of that should be fun.
No, it's not designed to be fun no matter what. But also, it was COVID. And my industry in particular in the hospitality business was on fire, as was, I mean, the whole damn country was on fire. Hell, the world was on fire. And we were so isolated. And so anybody going through any sort of depression, that didn't help, right? It was, you couldn't go anywhere. And I'm a social butterfly. And I can only go to kind of my places of business. And
right.
That didn't help.
Yeah,
but,
like I was I've worked from home since like 2017 anyway. So whenever COVID hit, people were like, at first people were like, "Oh, this must be old hat for you. This it must be like nothing changed because you were working from home anyway." And I was like, "No, because to me like the illusion that I could go out and do whatever I wanted was important. And then when that got taken away, it was like, you know, it was a whole other thing. So no, it affected me just as much, and in addition to everything else, you know, I went through as well. So
you know, it's fascinating. I had a friend that lived in Santa Monica for a long time, and she was telling me one time that she moved away and she was real depressed because she wasn't by the beach anymore. And I was like, "Oh wow, that's crazy. How often did you go down there?" She's like, "Very rarely." But to her, there was something about the fact that she just knew the beach was there. She could just kind of sense it, and I feel like that's sort of what you're saying. Like you weren't necessarily going anywhere, but it was there. You could go.
Yeah.
It was all tangible. And that was taken away. It's kind of when you realize that even just knowing that you could do something, that being gone didn't leave you with any options. So staying home wasn't, that's just what you wanted to do, is what you had to do. And it's a very different mindset. but you know, so just anybody out there, for whatever reason, dealing with depression, just please get help. It doesn't matter what it is, right? Again, we're not talking about divorce here. We're talking about just whatever reasons you find yourself in depression. Me, more than anything, it was I wasn't living with my children full time anymore. I really kind of, especially in retrospect, that's really the key thing that really effed me up. But again, it doesn't matter. Get help. You know, when my idol, Anthony Bourdain, had probably the most bitching career in the world, in my view. He was a writer. He was a chef. He traveled. He ate with every facet of human life possible. Every social economics. I mean, think about the kind of people he would sit down with U.S. presidents and world leaders, and he would sit down with people in third world countries that were living in villages in a hut with 20 people sitting down and breaking bread with them. It was just a remarkable career and remarkable path. And then his depression got the best of him. And I never understood how that's possible. How could you get that bad? And then when you understand it, when you get it, at the very least, I hope it gives us empathy that we could tap into that and to help people going through what we went through or what I went through or whatever, because it's a powerful tool to really be able to look at someone in the eye and hold their hand and say, brother, sister, whatever, I get it. I truly get it. And let's figure this out. But with you, Ryan, you went through everything you went through and you were a big help. And listen, a shout out to Bill Jett Ramey, that not just for this opportunity to come back, I'll get more into that in a moment, but, I had a good core group of friends that got me through a bunch of stuff, and he was a very, very key part of that. So can't thank him enough. He and Rachel both, and now it's Rachel. So anyway, so kind of coming over to you, you went through what you went through, and you weren't living necessarily with your daughter full time and everything. There, you got through that, and you're better, right?
Better is a relative term. I think you would agree with me there, Rick. Yes. Like, I'm a better person. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I don't know, double-edged sword. Sometimes you don't realize, like, how much your perspective on life and things can change until you go through some stuff. But I've gone through some stuff, and I feel like I'm better prepared for, the future and being a better person for it. So that's, you know, not to get too deep in those weeds, but that's kind of I feel like I have a pretty good perspective on things now.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You know, I later fell in love again and got remarried and never been happier.
Where, Rick? I don't know where you got married.
I got married in Vegas, my friend.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was just a very perfect place for us to get married. But she's amazing. But you know, it's not like, I mean, life is hard. Marriage is hard. Doesn't matter how happy you are. I'm still a father. I'm now a stepfather as well. And you know, it's fantastic. And hard things come our way, come everybody's way. But now I do feel more equipped for a lot of stuff. No matter how hard it gets, you say, I'm not, it's a great line from Rocky, and I don't have it in front of me, so I may butcher it. It's actually from Rocky Balboa. He's like, doesn't matter how hard you get hit, you keep hitting back, or you keep getting up and facing life. I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. But what a great segment.
It's not that about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Yeah, and keep moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a great line. And that's
the best like motivational speech TED talk in like 3 minutes that I think that's probably more effective than anything than most things.
Sure.
Like show that to somebody that's in a funk and that will probably help.
That speech, what's interesting about that speech, we'll talk briefly here about the Rocky franchise, I guess, and it was a BOF satellite show, I'm all over the place, but it's a good segue. But you think about in the early films, in the early sequels, the motivation was the music and him working out and training, right? And then when he made that character more grounded in the later films, and Rocky Balboa specifically, the motivation wasn't the music and wasn't the working out. All that stuff was still cool. It was that speech. It was those moments.
Yeah.
Where he took Rocky from a Superman back down to an everyman. But that's a great speech. And yeah, so here we are.
You know, I can't wait until, you know, speaking about the satellite show and Rocky, like – we're getting a new cut of Rocky IV like this year.
I know. Yeah. And we're getting Creed. We're getting Creed III, which I know he's not supposed to be in it, and that's fine. Probably yeah. best that he's not. It's not like he's not going to be there. He'll be there. He just won't be there.
Right.
And I'm still not 100% convinced he's not going to somehow pop up, but we'll see. But right. regardless, but again, great segue. So, I was not a part of BOF for a long time. The you took over the podcast for a year yeah. or so, right?
For many an episode.
yeah,
it's hard. It's hard work doing a podcast, guys. Gotta say that. Like, it's interesting. And ever since like me and Rick kind of stepped away from stuff full time, all these interesting things happened where Team BOF, in quotation marks, as it were, like just kind of started. We all branched out, and now instead of doing one show, everybody has a damn show, which is kind of interesting because we've got the BOF's Batman Podcast Network. So we have the main BOF podcast, and Garrett handles that, and we have
Garrett Gravy,
Garrett Grev hosts that. We have the Batman Book Club, which Ryan Lauer does, which is just nuts. but it's crazy. Like I think his episodes are in the 60s or something. It's nuts. And Pete and Eric do the Straight Outta Gotham, which right. covers most of the, you know, the geekly news type headlines in addition to some things. Pete does a damn Spider-Man show also, which is interesting. And we have like the BOF Social Hour, which is the rebranded. Yeah, that's another thing that happened when you kind of stepped away. Like Bill rebranded the vlog as the BOF Social Hour, and that also gets posted. So now instead of like one show, there's like way more shows, and now we're doing this satellite show as its own show.
It's great. And so, you know, on a side note of that, you know, the vlogs for the longest time, for 2 years, were really primarily Bill and I. And I think yeah. it's the best thing for that show that I stepped away for a while because it Bill branched out with other guests, and then you get Pete and I mean just everybody, Garrett, that comes on and does the shows, plus all these crazy awesome guests. And not just two old Texas rednecks just running their mouths. And but you know, when you know, Garrett took over the podcast, as you were saying, and has done a great job. Everybody's just done so great. It's a really talented group of people. Like, we troll each other, but I love those guys. Love you. It's so awesome. But there was not really a place for me at BOF anymore, other than just, you know, in a symbolic sense there was. But Bill came around and said, you know, I want you back in the loop. And why don't you just host a BOF satellite show? Because we were doing satellite shows, Ryan. We launched that together, and I think our first one, not our first Batman on Film proper show, because I think you off mic, you were saying that was The Dark Knight, but I'm talking about...
yeah, the first podcast we did together was... Yeah. You started podcasting with Bill on the BOF Podcast Volume 2, I guess you could call it, late 2015, early 2016. Y'all started just covering, like, let's just do a show on Batman and Batman Returns and Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, and by the time you got to The Dark Knight... Well, no, you know what? I think I was on the Begins show. You, me, and Bill did Begins, and okay. then you, me, Bill, and Justin did The Dark Knight.
That's right.
I believe, and, yeah.
Yeah, 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 that's right. I think that sounds right. There's so many shows that we did, but as far yeah. as the first satellite show, I think we did a Star Wars show with Zaki Hassan, right? You and me, was that correct?
Who knows? It was like, yeah, we'd have to look up the shows, but like it was Rogue One, leading up to Rogue One.
Yeah.
We did like a show leading up to it and just talk about Star Wars in general. And then we like covered Rogue One, and then we covered Solo and The Last Jedi before that. And like, you know, so
it was so much
fun. Star Wars kicked off the idea of what a satellite show is because you're like, well, I want to talk about. Yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, yeah. It, that's just it. It was like, and I remember I had the saying that because there were so many people that were trying to troll us going, why is Batman on Film talking about Star Wars or doing, you know, whatever? I'm like, because Burger King sells chicken sandwiches. And dude, and I know that Pete was trolling me on Facebook about that yesterday. He put up the quote and had a Burger King chicken sandwich. But it resonated because, like, why do we have to be in a box? Who cares? The Batman on Film show? Great. We're talking about other things that we love. Obviously, when we do a satellite show on Superman, that's a little bit more understandable. It's under the DC umbrella.
Yeah.
But and we did a great Superman show on that. But I really liked us talking about Rocky, and mm-hmm. We covered that franchise. And
we've done multiple Rocky shows.
We have, because was that franchise just had a second, third life. Who saw that coming?
I think we've done it maybe, what, three? I don't want to be like you and get like, do say wrong things.
You know what the problem is? I even said in the comeback tweet, I'm like, man, we even did a show on that Netflix Motley Crue movie. And you're like, we did? Like, everybody's like, no, we didn't. So I'm like, bullshit, we didn't. And so Eric Holzman and I were talking. He's like, no, dude, we had a conversation on like maybe a conference call about it. I'm like, we didn't record that and put it up. I go, well, what's the freaking difference? Okay, so what? But there's just so much. And so now with the show, and a big shout out to Bill for giving us this platform, is it, A, it brings me back in the loop. I'm honored to be here, but it also, there's so many things that now we can talk about. Listen, we had shows on the horizon with Back to the Future trilogy, Matrix. Right. We've got a new Matrix coming too. Great topic. I know that Ryan Lowery wants to do a Toy Story show and he's going to host that one. It's freaking awesome. Do it. Run with it. I love it. What else, man? One of these days, Bill's going to sit down and do a Smokey and the Bandits.
Funny, like everything, all these, I mean, we're rife in the time of nostalgia coming back and taking over things, you know, like He-Man's been making a big comeback this year and Garrett and Eric are supposed to be launching a dang He-Man podcast, you know, also on the network. And even just today, Pete's toying with the idea of even doing a Hulk book club podcast. but in terms of like geek media, like it's not a secret that I love the Super Mario Brothers movie, so I'm sure, dude, I could.
Please tell us. I'm sorry.
Were you talking? I did the Snyder. I was integral in bringing the Snyder cut, if you will, of Mario Brothers to the world.
Listen, I gotta give you credit. I never thought anybody would give a flying shit about that movie, and it's talked about on Twitter more often than I would ever have predicted. So I stand corrected.
We have a big following, yeah. But you know, other things like Waterworld. I love Waterworld. I would do a show on that. But then again, like, we're going to be getting a brand new Waterworld TV series, like, that's been kind of announced that it's in the works. Like, it's crazy, these things that just keep coming back. And, of course, Rocky. We're getting two more Rocky things to talk about.
And it's just also endless. Like, let's talk about some Marvel films that we just never really covered in a podcast necessarily.
Marvel films. I could do video game episodes, like, you
perfect.
Know.
Perfect, perfect.
There's all kinds of just random topics that don't fit into the BOF umbrella, really, that we could talk about.
And you know what? If we want to do a show talking about our best gravy recipe, whatever. Who cares? That's kind of the point of this. It's just, we're going to talk about whatever we want to talk about. And I'm really excited about it. There's so many topics I want to cover. I don't even know which one we want to do first. Everybody's like, what's this first episode going to be about? I'm like, nothing. It's Seinfeld. It's a show about nothing on this first episode.
Remember, I do love Seinfeld. I'm the Seinfeld guy, and you're like the Cheers guy. And every time you bring up a Cheers reference, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, I am, and I'm also a Night Court guy, and I'm just so devastated by everybody dying on that damn show. Harry Anderson died years ago. Then we lost Mac recently, Charles Robinson, and then Marky Post just recently died, dude. And she was like a childhood crush.
That's got to be weird, like when childhood crushes like start passing away.
Well, she was also super young when she died, but yeah, still, right. It was, you know, so listen, Milano, hang in there. Don't go. Don't leave me. It's my childhood crushes. Marky Post, listen, Milano. So, you know, and even with Star Wars, there's so much cool stuff. Because we never even really covered The Mandalorian on a satellite show.
And that you did fit you and you, you know. You did watch it too, right? Watched both seasons.
I did. It was like I just started kind of enjoying things again, and
It's interesting, like our trajectory here, in terms of like, I don't want to get back to the beginning of the show too much, but like, even in enjoying and interacting with media for a long time, was even caring about stuff was hard, you know, because your mental energy is just not there to do it. So it took me like a full year, and I think you too. It was a whole year later. We're both like, "Hey, we're watching season one of The Mandalorian," like I know, before season two came out, and then it was like, "Oh yeah, this is great," you know.
And exactly, and now to cover it, to talk about it, because the episode, the season three is filming. The Obi-Wan thing is happening. Oh. I mean, Hayden Christensen's in this thing. How the hell that's going to work? I don't know. He's Darth Vader, but what is it? Flashbacks? They didn't bring him back to have him just in the mask. I'm super excited about that. What's the actor's name from Chile that plays the Mandalorian? Pedro?
Pascal.
Pascal, okay. Did you see that thing that was from Variety with Ian McGregor talking? It was like an actor on actor. Oh, I got to send it to you. It's recent. It's maybe a month old, but it's an actor on actor talk. And they were just talking about the technology. And
And they were, but they're on different shows, but they're talking about their experience.
And it's like 35 minutes of just the two of them talking. But Ewan McGregor was talking. He says, you know, I walked by and I looked over and it's a stormtrooper. And he's like, oh my gosh. He goes, I never had those in my movies. They were clones, you know? They were clones. He's like, and there it was. I felt like I was six. And Pedro was like, isn't it just so amazing, like what it does to you? And it just, it gave me that feeling of like why I love Star Wars so much. God, there's so many fun things that we're going to talk about. Indiana Jones, for sure. The Ghostbusters franchise.
We're getting a new Ghostbusters movie this year.
I know we are.
And
we did a
BOF satellite. Me and Paul Herman did a satellite show on Ghostbusters leading up to it. We were talking about the very first teaser trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife. And I don't even think that title of the movie was out at the time. Maybe it was just like a very quick teaser. But then, you know, COVID happened and the movie got delayed and it's still, you know, it's still supposed to come out like in November, I think. So that we can get Paul on here and we can talk about Ghostbusters and
talk
stuff.
About
It'll
Ghostbusters.
Be great.
I mean, Top Gun is coming out. I mean, crew set on that for a while until COVID hopefully subsided. It's an exciting time
Spider-Man.
To be a fan.
I want
to
see you talk about Spider-Man. You know, that film comes out. That film's going to get delayed. Come on.
It's going to get
people
delayed.
People are fighting with me that, no, it's not going to get delayed. I'm like, it's going to. I mean, they're still toying with, and I hate to get topical on these shows, but like, they pulled the release date of like Venom. Venom still should come out this year, maybe, but we'll see. Like, I don't know.
We'll see. It's hard because everything keeps changing with COVID. Now the Delta variant screwing everything up, and you know, and I don't know. Who knows, man? Who knows? All I know is that my wife and I just, her name's Jen. Her and I went and saw the Suicide Squad last week, and we had such a blast. I love that movie so much. I don't care that it's flopping at the box office. I have my own opinions on that. I do think that it's. I think the branding of DC on film is still just. I think that these faces are too familiar of movies that people just didn't care about. That's my overall opinion. But I know
we'll see when The Batman comes out because it's completely different.
It's a completely different thing, and we'll also see how the Aquaman sequel does because Wonder Woman 84, which I think. Was better than most people gave it credit for. I agree.
I want to rewatch that soon. I think maybe I'll watch it with my daughter because those are good. Like, and that's one of those movies where I was glad that I avoided like the critics and stuff and went and saw it in the theater and I really enjoyed it. And I even tweeted out after I saw it. I'm like, you guys are wildin'. This movie's good. And then it just seems like the discussion over it ever since is like, oh, that was a stinker of a movie. And I'm just like, I don't agree with you guys. Like, I thought it was good.
No, I agree. I think
it's one of those things where it's like, it's one of those, like, I don't know. I would put it in the category of like a Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or something in terms of like, oh, that's not the movie that people thought that it was going to be. And it was a pivot that isn't going to resonate with everybody or make sense or be good for everybody in all the four quadrants or whatever. But for me, I was like, no, this is good.
No, I enjoyed it. It wasn't the sequel that I wanted necessarily. But so what? I mean, sometimes you get thrown a curveball and then you can, I mean, whether it's The Last Jedi or...
Last Jedi is a perfect. Yeah, it's even that's a better example than I was looking for than
I walked out Guardians of the first. 2. Yeah, I walked out there first time I saw it. I was like, I think I like this. That's not what I thought I was getting. And then I watched it the second time. I'm like, nope, love it. And then of course, the rest is history from there. But so much going on. It's exciting. So look, so here was the purpose of this episode. I wanted to set up where I've been for the three of you that give a shit. I wanted to say that if you're depressed, I promise you, you're not alone. To please reach out and get help from wherever you can get it. And I know not everybody has, unfortunately, a group of friends and loved ones like you and I have, Ryan. Not everybody's blessed to have that, but there are suicide hotline lines. There are ways to help battle depression. If you have the means, get a doctor. go talk to somebody and make yourself better, because there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and I am happier and better than I've been ever today. And if I would have let that eat me alive, I wouldn't be here with my new beautiful wife and all the exciting things going on. Got the bar, the new bar finally opening in October, all this fun, geeky stuff. And then to sit here and bullshit with my brother, Ryan Haas, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. It's one of those things where sort of like, it's even when you think things are good, it's always, it's never a bad idea to like check in with yourself. You can right. always make things better. It's like that stupid like thing from Wonder Woman 84. It's like, things are good, but they can be better. Like, but that's like a legit life thing. Like, for real.
Yeah, it's a legit life thing. Okay, let's close the show out of this first episode. And by the way, as far as the second episode, I'm not sure who's going to be on it exactly. I'm going to host the second one for sure. I don't know who's all going to be on it. Ryan's obviously welcome. And what topic we're
depends
going
if it's like Night Court or some crap, I'm out.
Yeah, well, and Bill might say we're doing Smoking the Bandit, and that's what we're gonna
do. Could do. Yeah. If you do we could do a comment a commentary on Roachman, and you could tell
we could do
that.
A commentary on Roachman. If no one's seen Roachman, I encourage you to YouTube Roachman. It's an Academy Award winning film that I have a great part in.
You're a screenshot. I have a screenshot from that. That is your contact photo on my phone.
It might very literally be the worst movie ever.
Very memeable. I searched for it on Letterboxd. I couldn't find it.
It's so bad. There was an actual premiere of that at a theater in Dallas. And
oh my god!
This is the late '90s, and I just sat there staring at it going, What is this?
Oh, what man. Is it?
What?
Can you imagine that's the most self-indulgent BOF satellite show ever, is a commentary about Rick Shue only commentary on Roachman.
On Roachman.
If that's not episode two, that's like going to be the final episode of this show.
that's peak. That's
where
peak.
Nobody really, peak, yes.
That's peak. All right, so and our plan for this BOF satellite show, guys, is for now probably do two episodes a month, and we'll kind of build on it and fill it out. But we hope that you support it. If you have some requests of something you'd like us to cover and any guests, throw them our way.
Yeah, requests would be interesting.
Yeah,
for
hit me up on Twitter at ShoeRick and obviously at Batman on Film. Ryan, what's your personal Twitter handle?
My personal Twitter handle is SMB_Ryan. The SMB is for the aforementioned Super Mario Brothers movie archive website, which I am the webmaster of, which is also on Twitter by itself at SMB Movie.
That's it. Now listen, we're going to close with this. Since this is a Batman-affiliated show, obviously, Ryan, I put up a poll yesterday. Let me pull it up real quick on Twitter. Now, obviously, there's nothing scientific about Twitter polls, for God's sakes. People, we all know that, but it was fun.
Oh, I know this poll.
Yeah. It was a fun poll, and it said, which Batman are you most excited about? And I had roughly 200 votes, 170. And
the choices were Keaton, Affleck, and Pattinson, because those are the ones we're getting on the big screen like in the same like year.
That's right. And 37% was Keaton, Affleck 17, and RP 46%. That blows my mind. And
I was surprised at those results, to be honest.
So, and for me, obviously, Affleck's going to be at the bottom of that list. I'll just say that. No, it's nothing against him as Batman. I think he's a crushing Batman in his own right. Not necessarily crazy about the content, but he's great in the role. But listen, Keaton coming back as Batman is like, I can't believe that we're getting that. It's just the coolest thing ever.
And he's been doing press for the Protégé movie that just came out. And he's been talking a little bit more about Batman in that. And he did a big profile in The Hollywood Reporter a couple days ago. And he talked about that. And it's like super fascinating because he's such a dynamic actor. You know, he's an actor's actor, you know, and
he is.
The fact that he can still be Batman is amazing.
Well, what was this? He says,
I've been thinking about that role.
I've got the quote right here. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Frankly, this is recent. He goes, frankly, in the back of my head, I always thought, I bet I could go back and nail that motherfucker.
And it sounds like they gave him the chance to do it. And
they did.
Because he was like, well, now that they're asking me.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the coolest because I love him as Batman. I love that first film. I kind of hate the second film. And so I'm glad to get
And this is a dude that's already done like Birdman and got an Oscar nomination for it, which is like a weird meta commentary on him as an actor. And now he's like going back and doing the thing. It's crazy. Like,
well, and he's playing Spider-Man villains and DC heroes. And I mean, he's as versatile as they come. I absolutely love him as an actor. And he seems like a really cool dude too.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, as far as the Batman goes, we have the great hashtag, the Batman is coming. We're going to have the great watch party in the Dallas, Texas area next year. Everybody look, follow us on Twitter and Facebook and look that up and come meet us
next
all
July.
In person. Next July. And come meet us in person. Come meet us in person. Yeah, it's like a little less than a year away. But the Batman, I saw that teaser on the big screen in front of the Suicide Squad. And
oh, yeah.
Dude.
How did that play? So, I missed mine.
So Jen hadn't seen it yet, and she loves Nirvana. Didn't even, it's like, they're using a Nirvana song. It was so haunting and perfect, and the tone was perfect, and everyone looks perfect, and he looks so badass. He beats the living hell out of those. I'm vengeance. Such a great line. God, dude, I'm so stoked for that film.
That's taken from, you know where that's from? The I'm vengeance line.
Tell us.
It's, well, I don't, it could be in other books, but like, a most recent comparison, it's in Geoff Johns and Gary Frank's Batman Earth 1, volume 1 or 2. Like, he's like beating somebody up, and he's like, and he says like, I'm vengeance, very much like that, like in the movie. And I was rereading it because volume 3, Batman Earth 1 volume 3, just came out, and I was like, oh my god, like, wow, they're taking stuff from the comics.
Yeah.
So it's cool. It's really cool.
Man, that's so... Oh, I'm just so excited. So, what's your poll? Just real quick. Mine, I think, is... At the end of the day, as far as which Batman I'm most excited about, I think it might actually be Keaton. The movie I'm most excited about is the Batman. Okay?
Yep.
Wrap your head around that contradiction, ladies and gentlemen.
Nope, I'm right with you. It's, for me, it's Keaton, Pattinson, and Affleck. Like, Pattinson is the... on paper, Pattinson is the biggest question mark. But for me, it's actually kind of Keaton, because I know what I want to expect, but I don't know what we're going to get. Pattinson, it's more about like Batman and the world and everything encompassing that film. Affleck, I couldn't really care less about, like, cause it's just, I do, but like, I know what to expect. It's just going to be more Affleck Batman, and he's going to, and whatever, like the other two are way more interesting to me in terms of like how that Batman's going to be presented.
Well, one we haven't seen in 30 years plus.
Yes.
And one we've never seen. So, yep. You know, right. And right now on HBO Max, I've got Snyder Cut going to run around with steps on.
I did enjoy the Snyder Cut.
And on that note, we're going to end the show here on the Batman on Film podcast. But listen, I don't even really have a plan written out outro thing just yet, guys.
You don't?
No, I don't. You know what? You and I were...
We should at least tell people to follow the show, which is on Twitter, at BOF Show. BOF Show.
It's at BOF Show. That's... Follow the BOF Satellite Show on Twitter at BOF Show. Follow us proper on Twitter at Batman on Film. And definitely follow the Bat Pod Network as well as on Instagram at Batman on Film. And if you're listening to us on any show, please take the time to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. It will help us all out. Listen, guys, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be back. Hope you guys enjoy the BOF Satellite Show. I'm Rick Hsu, and on behalf of Pete Vera, I'm going to say,
Roach
Booyah! Man. What's that? All right. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Batman on Film Satellite Show, BOF's non-Batman pop culture podcast. Follow the show on Twitter, at BOF Show. Follow BOF on Twitter, at The Batman on Film. For all of Team BOF, I'm announcer Rachel. Authoritative, definitive, the original, Batman on Film, established in 1998.